We certainly want him to lead us to the cross and to the empty tomb. Won't you join your hearts with mine in prayer? Come, Jesus, come. Walk among us. Open our eyes, our minds, our hearts. Come, Jesus, come. Reveal yourself as only you can. O God, help us now to see Jesus in our midst. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 34. Listen now to God's holy word. Now that same day, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever looked for something around your house? Maybe your car keys or your glasses, only to discover after a long, frustrating search that they were right there in your hand or in your pocket or maybe even on your face? We do have an uncanny ability to miss the obvious at times. This happened to me only this weekend as I looked all over for my boyfriend Kevin, only to discover he was right where I started looking. I just hadn't seen him. We can also have another strange and sometimes awkward experience when we run into someone in a place we aren't used to seeing them, where we wouldn't expect them, and it takes our brains a minute to catch up with our optical nerves and sort of put it all together, and to realize just who the person standing in front of us really is. It really can take a while to recognize someone out of context. You know what I'm talking about. But as a colleague said regarding today's text, I wonder just how long it would take me to notice someone I last saw in a casket sitting beside me on a bus. T. Today's passage is all about recognizing Jesus. It's Easter evening, later on the first day of the week, and the two disciples are on their way to a village called Emmaus. We know very little about them. Only one of them is named Cleopas, and this is the only time we come across him in Scripture. The other disciple's name is never mentioned. And whether Luke intended it or not, this allows us to put our name in the story. Robin, Betsy, John, Wally, Sarah, each of us are invited to put our names here and to see ourselves as part of this story. We know very little about Emmaus, just that it's 7 miles from Jerusalem, and it's the place where you go when you can't face what is happening, when you're overwhelmed with grief and sorrow, and you want to get out of Dodge. And so we find these two disciples, as exhausted as they are discouraged, as they trudge the 7 miles from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus. We don't know why they've forsaken the company of their fellow disciples, only that they're now walking home. Perhaps it's all they can think of to do. Full of grief, without any hope left, they make their journey. And Jesus meets them on the way. He doesn't come to them in Jerusalem. He doesn't wait for them at home. He meets them where they are, on the road, amid their journey, right smack in the midst of all the pain, frustration, and despondency that threatens to overwhelm them. In their hurt and their confusion, he meets them. And he does the same for us. Jesus meets us where we are. Jesus is with you on the journey, wherever you may find yourself today. He meets you on the road, in your pain, in your grief, in your hurt, in your confusion, in your disappointment, wherever you are. He is with you here and now, just as he was with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, even though they did not recognize him. Why didn't they recognize Jesus? Was it the setting sun in their eyes? Was it the altered appearance of his resurrected body? Was it because they were so caught up in their grief and disappointment that they could not see anything else? Or was it simply that they were not looking for him because they thought he was dead? All of this may have factored into the equation, but verse 16 points us to something more. It says, they were kept from recognizing him. The Greek here shows divine agency. Just as later in the passage, God will be the one to open their eyes, so here God is the one who prevents them from seeing. The Greek word for prevented, kratein, means control, hold, or restrain, and suggests something working beyond human eyesight. God is the one who closes and opens eyes. Recognizing Jesus and being able to confess him as the Christ are not matters of human insight, but divine revelation. Neither the Father nor the Son can be known except through revelation. But the marvelous thing is that God wants to be known by us, which is an essential part of why Jesus came in the first place, to show us the Father. And God continues to make himself known to us through Scripture and in sacrament by the work of the Holy Spirit. When we can't see, he reveals himself to us. The disciples do not recognize Jesus, but he recognizes them. He sees them. He sees them right where they are. He sees them, and he loves them. Frederick Buchner writes, I believe that although the two disciples did not recognize Jesus on the road to Emmaus, Jesus recognized them. that he saw them as if they were the only two people in the world. And I believe that the reason why the resurrection is more than just an extraordinary event that took place some 2,000 years ago and then was over and done with is that, even as I speak these words and you listen to them, he also sees each one of us like that. In this dark world where you and I see so little because of our unrecognizing eyes, he, whose eye is on the sparrow, sees each one of us as the child in red. And I believe that because he sees us, not even in the darkness of death are we lost to him or lost to each other. I believe that whether we recognize him or not, or believe in him or not, or even know his name, again and again he comes and walks a little way with us, whatever road we're following. And I believe that through something that can happen to us, or something we see, or somebody we know, whoever can guess how or when or where, he offers us, the way he did at Emmaus, the bread of life. Offers us a new hope, a new vision of light that not even the dark world can overcome. Jesus sees us. And he comes alongside of us, and he walks with us, and he offers us hope. Today, Jesus sees you, and he comes alongside you, and he walks with you, and he offers you hope. But what is it that keeps our eyes from recognizing the risen Lord in our midst? Is it pain and grief? Discouragement and doubt? Has disappointment robbed us of hope? Are we so busy looking at the problem that we don't see Jesus? Or do we actually believe that things will be as they always have been, and that we already know how the story goes, and that everything either has come or is coming to an end, a tragic end? Is it that our lives are so full that there's no margin, no space to think or breathe or even be, let alone recognize the one traveling alongside of us? Or is it our expectations? Is it that we aren't looking for him because we don't actually expect him to show up? Though the disciples had heard about the empty tomb, they weren't expecting to meet Jesus on the road. In verses 19 to 24, we see that they had a lot of knowledge. They really knew this story. They were right there in the midst of all that had been happening. When Jesus asked them what they're referring to, when they ask if he's the only stranger in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's happening, they go on to tell him the whole story of what's happened to Jesus, how he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And then they say, "We had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." They spoke the truth, but they didn't see. And what is more, it's the third day since all this had taken place. They didn't remember what he'd said about the third day. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. But apparently they were just women, so we shouldn't trust their story. I don't know why they don't believe it, but they don't see. Some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. So despite their intimate knowledge of this story, these disciples do not have understanding. The disciples will see, not because of their knowledge, but because of Christ's revelation. This revelation will come through an encounter with Jesus. It isn't head knowledge that leads us to Jesus. We can know a whole lot, but it isn't head knowledge that brings us to faith. It's experiencing the risen one. Yes? Ironically, at this point in the story, these two disciples are describing what happened. Jesus is not in the tomb, and he's nowhere to be found. To Jesus, very much alive and walking next to them. but they don't recognize who Jesus is. They don't see him. They couldn't grasp a Messiah who would suffer or see how all of the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. And so Jesus opens the scripture for them. And here the revelation begins. Later they would recognize that their hearts had been burning on the road as he taught the scripture to them. And things began to open up. Can you imagine what that Bible study must have been like? Don't you wish you could have been walking along with them to hear Jesus talk about what the scripture said concerning himself? As Jesus opens up the scripture, he helps to make sense of all that's just happened, all these recent events. His death, the crucifixion, the empty tomb, it all comes into light because of what he's teaching them in scripture about a Messiah who must suffer and then enter into glory. But as he teaches them, it not only helps them make sense of scripture, but also make sense of life. All of life is seen now in light of God's redemptive work in and through the cross. So the disciples are growing in understanding, but they still don't see who Jesus is. When they approach the village, Jesus acts as if he's going on. And whether it's simply good Jewish hospitality or the fact that they didn't want this encounter to be over, they invite Jesus to stay. He would have kept going. He never imposes or pushes himself on anyone. We are reminded of Revelation 3:20 when Jesus said, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me." I love the painting of this verse that shows Jesus there at the door, with no handle on the outside, the only handle on the inside for us to open. Indeed, Jesus does come in to eat with them, as he is invited to do. And it is here that the revelation is completed. For at this meal, the guest becomes the host. And at the table, they recognize him. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, just as he did when he fed the 5,000, just as he did in that last supper in the upper room. And as he did, as he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Through the interpretation of scripture and the sharing of the meal, the eyes of the disciples are opened, and they recognize not just the person of Jesus, but the presence of the Lord, the God whose powerful word called light from darkness and gives life to the dead. And their experience teaches us that the ability to see comes not through knowledge, but through revelation. It comes through an encounter with the risen Lord. And this utterly transforms their experience of their circumstances. Just as encountering the risen Lord utterly transforms our experiences of our circumstances. No sooner do they recognize him than he is gone, disappeared from their sight. And then they are gone, hurrying back to Jerusalem to share what has taken place. They cannot keep it to themselves. Encountering Jesus literally turns their life around. And the 7-mile return trip flies by. They take the same road, but have an entirely different experience. The road that has been marked by defeat and shattered hopes is now full of possibilities. It's the same road, but a different destination. Same road, different conversations. Same road, different realizations. Same road, and an entirely different mission. Jesus is alive. They'd seen him with their own eyes. And recognizing Jesus transforms everything. Just as Jesus met the disciples on that first Easter evening, so he meets us here today. He meets us as we study scripture together. He meets us as we share in fellowship. He meets us as we come to the table. And one of the great blessings of this resurrection account is that it teaches us, disciples on the road some 2,000 years later, that we too can have an encounter with Jesus. It isn't simply the followers who were lucky enough to see the risen Christ in those 40 days before his ascension who can know firsthand that Jesus is alive. We don't have to base our lives with Jesus on the experience of others. We can encounter him ourselves. He lives. And as the song says, he walks with us and talks with us along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives in your heart and in mine. And by the power of the Spirit, he meets us here. Easter is not over. And those of us who have not yet seen are invited into the story. What is it that makes us aware of Christ's presence? What triggers recognition in us here and now? How would you have eyes to see? Our passage today points us to some ways this happens. When we study the scriptures, we ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and reveal the living Christ to us. When we gather in fellowship, we experience him among us. As scripture tells us, where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in our midst. And as we come to this table, we too can have our eyes open to recognize him. Through the word and through the sacrament, Christ meets us. In the midst of our worship, Christ meets us. Just as Jesus met the travelers on the road, opened the scriptures, shared a meal that revealed his identity and his presence, and then the travelers were sent to share and live the good news, so we are gathered, given the word, fed at table, and sent into the world. This morning, as we come to the table, Jesus meets us here. Just as long ago, the guest became the host, so today he is our host. And as he takes bread and breaks it, our eyes are opened and we are able to recognize him. For Jesus is known in the breaking of the bread. As those who are fed are sent into the world to share what we have seen and tasted and known. The one who is dead is now alive. And every one of our circumstances is now seen in a new light. The road that was once marked by grief is filled with hope. Come and see, we say. See for yourselves, Jesus is alive. For you and for me, the risen Christ comes and walks along with us on the road, realizing that we don't see as we ought. He teaches us the scriptures that we may understand. He shares his presence through bread and wine. And he gives us burning hearts that prompt us back into the world. Do you recognize him beside you? Jesus, the risen one. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.